Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and thanks to all of you out there for being there and being involved in this attempt to make some sense about what is used in landscaping and gardening and farming and ranching and becoming more healthy. That's what we talk about here. Telephone number to be on the show is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Logan is in town. She's here for her 10th high school reunion. Boy, things go fast, I tell you, for sure. And she'll be here a couple more days before going back to Arizona and then back later for her next adventure out, which I'll keep you posted on. This hour is brought to you by Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. It's probiotics that I take and highly recommend. They just got a nice new award. They get all kinds of awards, but they have just gotten an award from Better Nutrition Magazine. They chose Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics as 2004's Best of Supplements Award winner in the probiotic category for the sixth time. So congratulations. This makes Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics the only probiotic supplement ever to achieve this honor. One of the interesting things about this product is this. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics uses 12 different strains in an exclusive manufacturing process that allows the bacteria to thrive for 3 to 5 years in fermentation vats while producing numerous other beneficial byproducts. What the net result of that is not only an extremely high-quality product that's great for your gut and your overall health, but you don't have to refrigerate it. It's one that you can just leave in room temperature, and it's great. Some of you know that I had surgery not too long ago. Nothing that serious, but it was great that I did it. It was extremely deviated septum, bone spur, and some sinus issues. And the doc talked me into using the antibiotics, you know, which was probably a good idea. But then I continued using the probiotics and then really doubled up, tripled up on it after it was all done. And I think a very important part, he made the comment that he'd never seen anybody heal as fast as I did. So if you haven't tried it, I recommend it. And I know a lot of people take probiotics in general, different brands and so forth. But if you haven't tried Dr. O'Hara's, I recommend that you do it. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. The only thing I wanted to talk about before I go back to the phone lines is important, and it's trimming trees, pruning trees. There's a lot of conversation about that at this time of the year, people wondering if this is the best time to do it and all that. It's good from a lot of standpoints. Probably the most important one of all is that you've got foliage still on the deciduous trees, and you can tell what's dead and what's alive pretty easily. The evergreens, it doesn't matter when you do it. You can see that situation anytime. But cleaning out the dead wood, and sometimes that's a safety issue. If you've got big dead limbs or trunks or whatever, that can be dangerous. I like some dead tree material left in landscapes, especially if you have large enough properties. In other words, dead snags, an entire dead tree left for woodpeckers and other birds and various insects and microorganisms and all that. It's just a part of nature. But you don't want to do it if it's in a place where it could fall and hurt anybody or hurt something. So getting the trimming done at this time of the year is a great time to do it. Hire an arborist that understands that you never make flush cuts. You always want to err on the side of leaving too long a stubs, if anything, because that stub is the branch collar. And the branch collar is the healing device. It's part of the trunk or part of the larger limb that you're cutting a smaller limb from. And some people will say, make flush cuts. That's horrible advice. And some people will say, oh, just leave a 16th of an inch of the branch collar. Well, that's horrible advice, too, because you're cutting most of the branch collar, the healing device, away if you don't go all the way out past where it is and preserve it all. And a branch collar on a large limb can stick out several inches, and it will always be wider on the bottom of the cut than on the top. And if you make the cut where outside the branch collar, when you look directly into it after you've made the cut, it'll be a round cut. If you cut too closely to the tree and cut into the branch collar, it'll be oval or football shaped, and you have set up a situation that will lead to rot, both the top and the bottom, decay. You know, the pathogens can set in, rot can set in, and almost 100% of the time, that cut will become a cavity on down the road. Tree might survive and be fine, but, you know, why risk it? Make the cut at the right place. It's easier to make the cut at the right place, too, by the way. I do not use pruning paint. Some of the arborists that I work with like to do it in certain situations, and especially in the spring if they have to do some pruning and as a protective kind of thing. If you hire an arborist to do pruning work and they want to use paint, the only one that I would recommend is an imported product, unfortunately, but it's by far the best in the world, and it's called Lac Balsam, L-A-C-B-A-L-S-A-M. But remember that on my trees, I don't do anything. And I don't do it on root flares where we are cutting away, circling and girdling roots and problem parts of the base either. Some people like to do it, and that's fine, but try to get them to use the good stuff, the Lac Balsam. Why is it good? It's good because it's flexible, and it breathes, and it doesn't do more damage than good. Most pruning paint actually causes the callus to form more slowly and the healing to take a longer period of time. The tree has the ability to take care of itself if you just let it, okay? 866-444-3478. Here's Doris at Cedar Creek Lake. Hi, Doris.
Good morning, Howard.
How are you?
Let me get you off speaker.
Okay, thanks.
I have two or three questions. First, you answered one of them already. And when to cut back on the fruit trees,
mm-hmm.
and I already knew what you had said before about where to cut at. Another question
now,
is,
have you already harvested all your fruit?
Oh, the freeze harvested our fruit
okay.
last year.
All right.
We had one peach, and it was really good. The freeze, they had so many blooms.
Well, prune if you have to on fruit trees, but just so everybody hears this, the ideal time to prune fruit trees is late winter.
Okay, I started yesterday, and then I stopped because I thought, I think I remember that this is not the right time.
Right. It's not going to be the end of the world, but it'd be better to do it winter to late winter.
When everything's dormant in there?
Right.
After it started losing its leaves, but, I mean, they're not all gone by any means. Question about my pomegranate.
Okay.
Pomegranate planted a few years ago. The last 3 years, it has produced a few. Each year, a little bit more than the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Grew about 10 to 12 feet tall. Healthy, all that time. This year, it's brown, dead, stiff, breaks easily, nothing on it.
The whole plant?
The whole thing.
Is it coming back from the base?
No, not so far. But I'm not taking it out yet.
Well, you might as well, Doris. If it's totally dead and dry, it's gone, and it would have sprouted already at the base if the base of the plant was still alive. What happened to you was it got freeze damage.
Yeah, probably. It was really cold for several days.
Yeah, if it hits you just at the right point and there's been some other stress for whatever reason on the plant, pomegranate is kind of on that bubble and can get some freeze damage. Mine didn't have any big limbs or anything die, but had very little fruit production this year.
Yeah. Well, the wind comes out straight across the lake, and there's nothing to break it.
Yeah. You'll have to start over. Sorry about that.
Yeah, got me. Okay, roses.
Mm-hmm.
I have bushes and climbers. Is now a good time to shape those up?
Well, you can prune a rose anytime you want to, and I do that. But the ideal time, again, on the pruning of roses is the bush roses, and everybody kind of buys into this, and I don't have any problem with it either, is to prune in February. The best time to prune the climbing roses, most people will agree on, is right after they have their heavy flush of bloom in the spring. But on the other hand, I prune certain of my roses year round whenever I need to prune. So it's not life and death for you or the roses, either one, to prune whenever you have.
I've been taking out some of the dead.
Yeah, just prune whenever you need to if they're too big or you have some dead to remove.
Okay.
I'm going to need to break for a while. Did you have some other questions?
Yeah, I have one
more. Okay, hang on a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com.
You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. There's one open line if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. We were finishing our conversation with Doris. What else did you have, Doris?
Okay, and cutting the bushes, roses, cut those back in February, and the climbers after the
after
first
they bloom is kind of the traditional time to do it recommendation, but again, you can prune whenever the rose is too big or getting in the way. There's a limb out in the walkway or whatever. You just trim when you need to. Those are just the major times that most people recommend, and I don't have any problem with that recommendation.
Okay. How short should I cut them back, climbers and the bush rose?
Well, the climbers, you don't cut back much at all because you want them to climb up and cover a certain area, and you pretty much leave them in that position other than when they're sending out shoots and getting out of control, you know, not being where you want them to be.
What about tiny branches, though? Do I take off the small branches?
Don't need to. No, can open it up a little bit if you've started to see some disease set up. You don't think the air circulation's quite as good as it should be. You can take out some limbs to help the air circulation through the plant. But other than that, you don't need to do anything except take deadwood out.
No, we're good there. So far, I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Well, you're doing fine. You don't need to worry about doing very much.
Good.
If they're in good shape.
Okay. I'll go ahead and take out my pomegranate, though.
Okay.
That makes me sad. Okay.
All right. Good luck. Talk to you later. Yeah, your shrubs, especially old roses, the ones that are on their own rootstock and that we recommend highly, and the ones that I recommend talk about, a very high percentage of them are old roses, and even some of the hybrids are on their own roots nowadays. It's you'll run into a little bit of both. But we actually prune less than a lot of people recommend. We leave the roses pretty bushy. If they have good, pretty foliage, you don't need to prune them back a whole lot. You just prune them enough to keep them in the shape and the size that fits the garden space. Pruning heavily is done primarily to create a situation where you have these few dominant shoots left so you can grow these great big spectacular specimen flowers. If you're trying to have the whole rose bush pretty and a lot of roses all over, you really don't do that much pruning unless it's a size or a dead wood situation. I just had a large white rose. It had gotten so big, I cut it all the way to the ground, for example. Now it's coming back from the ground. It's the Duchère or Duché. And I've done that with other roses. In fact, the first time I ever did it, I was intending to take the rose all the way out, and I cut it to the ground. And I looked up one day. I hadn't done anything but cut it all the way down to the ground. I hadn't taken the base out or anything. And here it comes sprouting up. And lo and behold, it's done better that's growing back from the base than it did the first time around. So that's a technique that sometimes people will use. 866-444-3478. Richard is in San Antonio. Hey, Richard.
How you doing, Howard?
Doing well.
I have your Agrilon crabgrass killer.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not. I'm in a garage, actually.
Okay, just echoing. Okay, what you got?
Well, what do you recommend you would put that on the crabgrass?
What? I'm sorry, what's the question about it?
I bought the Agrilon crabgrass killer.
Okay.
What do you recommend as an applicator?
I tell you what I used. I used the device to put out the product he's talking about is a dry, powdery product. I used the device called the Dustin Miser, and I would imagine that if shades of green there, you know, Bob Webster and I'm drawing a blank on her name, Roberta Churchin, she would kill me if she knew I forgot her name. Their place there, they probably have it in stock. If they don't have it, you could order one online. But if you need to do it right away, another way to do it is go to the kitchen and get the turkey baster out, or go buy one, and you can puff it out with the turkey baster.
Okay.
Works pretty well. Now, what you want to do with this product, this Agrilon crabgrass killer is what he's talking about. What kind of weeds are you trying to control?
It is crabgrass.
Okay. It probably will be better, more effective. Go ahead and do it now, but next year when it's early summer and it's growing at that time of the year, you're probably going to get better control of it than now, because it's probably kind of going downhill now. I may take that back. It may work pretty well now. But what you do is you wet the entire lawn, just take a hose and sprinkle it all and wet it, and then puff this product out. If you use the device that it's sold in, the holes in the top of the cap are too big, and it comes out too clumpy to me. I think it needs to go out in a finer dust, and it'll settle on the plants that are wet, and you'll first see the plants turn yellow. I think, you know, it's a cinnamon-based product, but I think there's also some curcumin or turmeric in it also. It turns everything yellow, and then the weeds start turning black, and that happens the day you put it out. It happens pretty quickly, and the worst thing I've seen happen to the St. Augustine or Bermuda or Zoysia is a little bit of yellowing, and then the plants pop right back.
Okay. Could you recommend a fast-growing tree?
Fast-growing tree? Well, good fast-growing trees are things like Texas ash does well. The white ash down in San Antonio is about the same thing. Bur oak, red oak, the Montezuma cypress is extremely fast-growing and very healthy, and the Mexican sycamore. If you had something else, I'll talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. But did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body. And elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Dave is in Granbury, Texas, next up. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. I just wanted to expand on a comment that you made a little while ago. You were talking to a lady about the synthetic fertilizers and synthetic pesticides and how they basically do their own research and tout that our research shows that this is okay and won't hurt harm anything. And I wanted to expand upon that because here's the next level that they go to. They take this research to an ag college like A&M, let's say, and they go, hey, here's a lot of research that our science, our R&D department has done on this particular chemical, and we would like you to confirm that everything's okay and that it's right. By the way, here's a 7-digit check we would like to donate to your department.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think that sets up? I mean, you basically got the answer on the front end that you're going to get. And what they do then is they get research that confirms their stuff, and then they say, look, the universities are clarifying what we've said.
Well, that's why we have so much trouble with the universities, not just A&M, but they're a big part of it here in Texas. The money is available from the peat moss company, companies in Canada, you know, the peat moss industry, and the chemical companies like Dow and Scotts and Monsanto and all these people, they've got tremendous amounts of money. Well, the whole organic industry together doesn't have marketing dollars like, you know, just one company has on the chemical side. So, yeah, it's a problem. It's something that we deal with all the time.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to point that out to your listeners.
Yep. It's a deal. Thanks, Dave.
Talk to you later.
One of the things that went on a couple of years ago is that A&M got a check for several million dollars from Scotts, and they're working together on some projects that basically puts them in business together. And it's Dave's right. There's a lot of pressure there to recommend the things that they talk about and sell and manufacture and everything, rather than some safe organic little product or procedure over here on the other side. There's not much money in the compost business like there is in peat moss, and that's why peat moss gets recommended continually by universities and all, rather than the compost that we talk about. Some of the people at the universities and the extension services recommend compost, but not all, and some will continue to say that there's not any research there at all. Some of the first books that I read were about making compost in other countries and bringing back people that were really having health problems and everything by simply doing that, increasing the soil health, increasing the production of the plants. So there's documentation. It's all on our website, on the research part of our website, Texas Organic Research Center. And the books that I recommend that cover all these things are there as well. One of the things that is the most frustrating, I think, and it's one of the tools that they use, the critics and the chemical people that aren't into organics, they use the argument that there's no research backing up the things that we recommend. Well, in every category, whether you're talking about seaweed or humic acid or compost or mycorrhizal fungus or whatever the subject is, there's a whole lot of research. And we've got it. It's on our website, very easy to find it, and it's available to anybody doing a search on the internet, but they still continue to try to say that that's the reason not to use the organic products. They're running out of things to say because there's so much proof coming back of successful projects using the natural organic approach that they're having a harder and harder time coming up with an argument against it. Got open lines for you if you want to jump on here at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This is a time of the year when transplanting things gets talked about a lot, and some people say that right now, late summer, early fall, is not a good time to transplant. Maybe the best time of the year to transplant right now, and the reason is there is a burst of root growth that you get in the fall that's extremely important. And the way you get it is as the plants just start their journey toward shutting down. When you first start seeing a little change in the plant, change of color, when the night temperatures are cool, and you know you can see it and feel it in the plant that it's starting to move that direction, that is the ideal time to transplant the plant, whether you're doing bald and burlap, partial bare rooting, or complete bare rooting, because you're going to catch that flush of growth that happens in the fall. During the cool part of the year, the fall, the autumn, the roots are going to grow a lot. That's when you're going to have some of the most significant root growth. And if you move it now, you get the benefit of that new growth in the new location. And you're going to get some root growth all during the winter. So the fall, early fall, is the ideal best time to do it. And for sure, planting new things, going to the garden centers and picking out something now as the fall color sets in, you can get an idea of what the fall color is going to be. It's not foolproof. Even if you see that a plant has red fall color in the nursery and plant it in your garden, it is not 100% safe that it will be that same red color because of the soil conditions, soil chemistry, the soil pH, the soil everything, the chemistry, you know, affects the pH. That's what affects it. But it gives you the best chance of getting that fall color that you want if you buy the plant in the fall, and then you get it in at the right time. Second best time is going to be any time during the winter, any time at all. The worst time of all is when most people plant stuff in the spring, when things are growing, when they're all setting out to grow. And I do it too. I go buy things at that time and plant them, and you can get away with it. But it is literally the worst time to transplant something on most plants, not all of them, but on most plants. It, on the other hand, it's the best time to find what you're looking for, because that's when the nurseries will have the best selection of plants in the stores. But woody plants, woody shrubs, and trees, both ornamental trees and big trees too, right now is the time to plant them. And that includes transplanting if you need to move them from one spot to another. 866-444-3478. Charlotte in Mount Vernon, Texas. Hi, Charlotte.
Yes. Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hi. Well, I wanted to ask you how I could control some Dallas grass that just seems to be taking over my yard.
Well, it's a tough weed because it's a healthy weed. It's a very healthy plant. It's not like crabgrass and grass burrs and those kind of weeds, low successional, easy to control weeds. It's a high successional grass. It's a good grazing grass. That doesn't mean it's good for your lawn, and it thus becomes a big problem in the lawn, Charlotte. I think that the product we talked about earlier in the show, the AgriLawn Crabgrass Control, could be effective on it. It'd be worth a try anyway, and you could concentrate it a little heavier right on the spots of the Dallas grass.
Uh-huh. What did you call it?
It's called AgriLawn. It used to be called Garden Weasel Crabgrass Control, and you might still find it under that name in some of the stores and some of the direct mail order places. They may have it under the old name. What happened with that product was a young fella in the grass mowing and edging business invented it. He came up with it. How he got the idea, I have no idea. And he sold it himself for a while, and then he sold it to the garden weasel people, the people that make the Manus tiller and those kind of things, you know.
Uh-huh.
And their mission, their business model is that they buy, I don't know, 10 or 20 companies a year, whatever the number is, and then they let a certain percentage of them go back. They don't keep them around. It's kind of an interesting business model that they have. Point is that the fella ends up back with the product and put it back on the market under his original name, which was AgriLawn. Somebody was asking me about it a couple of days ago about how to buy it in larger containers, and he now has it, and it's in the regular distribution. Your garden center ought to be able to get it for you in 25-pound containers. So now it's available in larger sizes, and it's also as a result, more cost-effective, you know, to buy that way.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wanted to comment, or I was kind of curious, too. You know, I'm really not organic, but I'm not synthetic either. I just don't do much of anything. I try to be, healthy when I can, like that. But you know, I had some pot plants, and the only, you know, soil that, you know, I have, I've started some compost, but I just have to buy that bag potting soil,
mm-hmm.
which is horrible. I have no idea. It's not dirt. I can guarantee there's no soil.
No,
in
it's
it
probably
at all.
Peat moss and bark and sand and stuff like that. You can improve it by adding the things that we like, compost and earthworm castings and rock powders and cornmeal and dry molasses, and turn it into a good potting soil.
One of my comments I was going to make is that I've been, you know, gathering up some products like that, and I bought some liquid molasses about 6 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
And that's about all I had. But when I went to water, I thought, well, you know, I might as well just, you know, mix a few tablespoons of this in this gallon of water or so. And I watered with that a couple of times, and, you know, I had some sweet potato vine, mm-hmm. and, you know, you can't kill those things, but mine had just done horrible this year. But with just a couple of waterings with that liquid molasses, they just started flourishing.
Well, that's good.
Bounced up, but anyway.
Well, it works. You have been organic by benign neglect, yeah. It sounds like. But, just use these things to kind of pick up one at a time like you've started doing yours, you'll see what you've experienced with the molasses. You'll see better and better results, and you'll be totally hooked.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for the tip on the Dallas grass. When do I do that? In the spring, summer?
Well, you could do it right now and probably get some results from it. I'm not positive it'll work on Dallas grass as well as it does on other weeds. And so if it doesn't, you can use that product on other things and then spray the strong vinegar or get a hoe and chop the Dallas grass out and throw some compost in the holes.
All right.
I got to run. If you had something else, put you on hold and talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back with you right after this. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydratane. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydratane. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydratane. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydratane is now available to you. Hydratane allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratane or order directly from Hydratane.com. That's Hydratane.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I was just looking at our Facebook page. I hadn't looked at it this morning, and somebody sent me a picture of papaya growing. It came from seed in the compost pile, and I wrote that it looks like papaya, and then a whole bunch of people chimed in, and the comments are really interesting because it apparently came across, even though I went into detail about how to plant papaya, it apparently came across that I wasn't sure whether it was papaya or what it is, and a lot of people chimed in to say that it's papaya. Yeah, it's papaya, definitely papaya. So you might want to take a look at that. It's a fun plant to grow, and this is a good time, another good fall thing to do. Get some papaya. If you like papaya, eat it. Judy and I aren't big fans of the taste of papaya, but I love the plant. I think it's terrific. And you get a good ripe papaya. You scoop out those BB-sized black seed or dark brown seed, put them on paper and let them dry, and plant them in good organic potting soil and grow little papaya plants through the winter. And if you protect them, and you need to do that because it's a tropical plant, they can be set out in the spring and they will grow to be big plants in the garden. And you might even get some papaya. I doubt if in zone 8, which we are here in Dallas-Fort Worth area, that you will get fruit that is ripe, but you probably will get some fruit. And it's just a terrific plant to play around with. Good one for kids because it's easy to grow from seed and it gets big in a hurry and that sort of thing. Castor bean, I kind of put in the same category. Beautiful plant, love to grow it. But yeah, it's got the issue of being toxic, and you need to teach the kids about it. It's what ricin's made from. And I don't know how toxic just eating the base leaves and parts of the plant are, but they are toxic to some degree, so you just need to know that. Let's see what else. Well, let's go back to the phones, what we need to do. Shelby in Dallas next up. Hey, Shelby.
I love your show. Thank you for all that you do.
I appreciate that.
So I have a live oak, and it's a very old one, and I noticed recently that the leaves are falling, and it's sparsely populated compared to the one next to it. And I have black specks on the leaves that are dead on the ground, as well as the little shoots that are popping up from the tree roots.
Wow.
I'm wondering if you know what that might be.
We have other live oaks that look okay.
Yes.
But this one is in trouble.
Right.
Anything been done to it that's different than the other trees?
I think I did have a landscaper that came out a couple years ago and have sod put down. I had some landscaping done. I had some Japanese maples put in. I think the dirt might be too high up on, and so the root layer is not exposed.
Well, if you think that may be the case, it's the case. Okay. What you need to do is the same thing that I did to my big ginkgo and my big live oak in the backyard, is dramatically expose the base, dramatically expose the flare. Look at my website and look at or on Facebook or on the website, either one, under ginkgo, and in the Facebook, you can find it there too. But I've really went overboard exposing the flares on two big trees to see what it would do, and what it did was it made them so healthy, it's incredible. And I've also had to do it on some live oaks on some other properties that were kind of limping along, had a bunch of galls and weren't responding well to just basic root flare exposure, and I went ahead and did a dramatic version of it, and boy, they responded beautifully. So you're probably going to find that there's circling and girdling roots, or maybe some rotting going on at the base of the plant when you uncover it like that. You could do it yourself if you do it extremely carefully with hard tools and with power washers and stiff brushes like a horse brush and all that. But the best thing to do would be hire somebody like Moore Tree to use the air spade and do it for you.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
And doing the rest of the sick tree treatment is probably in order, too. It's just that the flare exposure, exposing the base of the tree, that's the first step of the sick tree treatment, and it's the most important one of all. The whole thing is important to a degree, one way or the other, and I recommend it. But if you're just going to do one thing, the most important thing to do is get the soil off the flare so you can literally stand on the flare as it comes down and goes out at an angle and then starts running horizontally. Most people don't do it enough, and that includes some of the tree care companies. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Vince in Berryville, Texas. Where's Berryville, Vince?
It's about 3 miles north of Frankston, Texas.
Okay. What can I do for you?
I got a peach tree that where every branch connects to the main trunk, there's a big blob of, like, the sap. Is that peach tree borers?
Oh, it could be borers. It could be just gutation, the sap pushing out from pressure. Gumosis is caused as a pressure pushing out on it. Just two different situations that are kind of similar. What I find in almost 100% of the cases, Vince, is that the bases, the flares of fruit trees, are dramatically too deep in the ground. So,
yeah, when I planted this tree, I planted it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as the year went by, the ground settles and the trees sink, and so I redig the tree and pull it back up? Or
no, don't do that, but take a stiff brush, like a horse brush that you can get at a feed store, and just brush the soil away, brush it away, brush it away, and get down to the flare. I guarantee you that that's the problem. And you do that, and the overall sick tree treatment, I think you'll see that pressure and that oozing of sap coming out go away.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if you had something else, I'll talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478.